You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today on this Monday. God bless you. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Monday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God, as we together sit under the authority of the Word of God. This is WGOD. This is the radio program brought to you by the excellent people here at Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, midweek Bible study. You're invited to attend one of our services if you're new to the area or looking for a church home. If you're free on Wednesday nights, we'd love to see you. I invite you to come on Wednesday nights. We've been in the book of 1 Peter. We have another series coming up with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. He will be starting the book of Philippians here coming up. Sunday mornings, we're in the book of Acts, verse by verse. Those are some of the things going on here at the church. IslandCommunityChurch.net is our website. Here on the radio today, we're going to hear something called The Long Night, Part 1. So, and that is these chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. This was of the Gospel of John. It is all one long sermon. It's all one long night, the night before our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. It's one long sermon. That's where we're looking at here. We're in this series, Famous Chapters of the Bible. This one's going to take us through three chapters, 14, 15, and 16. So, okay, let's get into the Word now, The Long Night, and let's hear some wonderful instructions from our Lord Jesus.
You know, praise God, Resurrection Sunday is just 2 weeks away now. And I'm going to do something a little bit different here this time around. Now, here today and next week, I want to look at the long sermon that the Lord gave on his last night with his disciples and friends. This long discourse is found in John chapters 14 through 17. It's just one long sermon. Now, today I want to look through John chapter 15. We don't need to go in order. We'll look at chapter 14 next week, which is Palm Sunday. The following week, Pastor Darren will be preaching on Resurrection Sunday. And then the following week, we'll probably look at the last chapter here, chapter 16. So today, let's go to the Gospel of John and chapter 15, and let's pray before we get started. Lord God Almighty, again, we praise you in the house. Lord, I just fill with it. Excitement and anticipation for what you're going to do here today. We pray for Bill's friend, the one whom you put on his heart. We pray you do an awesome work in him here today. We pray that the Lord Jesus would become real to him today. We pray for Bill for his healing. We pray for Richie again in the hospital. We pray that you'd reinflate his lung, minister to him in the hospital. I pray for my church family, those watching on the internet, those that are going to hear on the radio, that you do a great work in my church family and friends now. Help us to be doers of your word. Help us to do what we hear today. Lead us and guide us now, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, now the heading of my New King James is The True Vine. And I've entitled these sermons, the long night. Now, before we start in verse 1, I want to read this excellent commentary from Warren Wiersbe. He says this. He said, "It is important to remember that not everything in a parable must mean something. A parable teaches one main truth, and to try to make a parable, quote unquote, stand on all legs, all four legs, is often the first step towards misinterpretation. The main truth the Lord is teaching in this parable is the importance of abiding in Him in order to bear fruit." Let me say that again. The main truth He's teaching in this parable is the importance of abiding in Him in order to bear fruit. Warren Wiersbe continues, "The word fruit is used 6 times, and the word abide at least 15 times, but not always translated as abide. The main point of the teaching here is fellowship, not sonship. To use verse 6 to teach that a Christian can lose his salvation and is burned in hell if he fails to bear fruit is to twist the meaning of the parable. Isn't that the truth? You as a Christian, you cannot lose your salvation. Because salvation is of the Lord, it's not of you. Pastor Darren was teaching this morning, you were saved on your worst day. You can't lose, you didn't save you, you can't lose you. Book, chapter, and verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates His own love towards me and you, and that while you were still a sinner, He died for you. The Bible, from the first to the last book, says salvation is of the Lord. He also says in John, He says, no one is able to snatch them, that would be you, out of my hands, out of the Father's hand. You can't lose your salvation. Let's get that clear as we move on. Warren Wiersbe again said, in the first place, such a teaching contradicts the plain teaching of other verses. John 6:27. I just quoted to you John 10:27-29. All right, now there's some great advice from Warren Wiersbe. All right, we're in chapter 15. Let's pick it up in verse 1. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Old English word in the King James, I think it says husbandman. So the Lord Jesus is the true vine. Anyone and everyone else would be the opposite. A false vine, naturally, right? Or a different vine. Any other vine is a false vine. There's only one that we can hook up and connect to and with that has everlasting, eternal life. Any other vine just leads to nowhere. Endless bunny trails that lead to nowhere. But the Lord Jesus, out of His own mouth, is the true vine. Verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, so that it may bear more fruit." Now, I've heard Charles Stanley say before that God the Father has His own toolbox. In His toolbox, a saw, a chisel, and some sandpaper as well. A saw for the things that are growing on you that absolutely need to be removed. And that saw will be used on only those that are in the vine naturally. Now, those things might not necessarily be bad things or sinful things, but they are things, nevertheless, that the vine dresser has sovereignly decreed that they will not grow on you, so to speak. Or the leech that is attached to you, draining you of all your blood, like Count Dracula. Anyone have any leeches attached to them in their lives? Reminds me of that proverb. It says, the leech has 2 sisters, give and give. You see, now the Lord will get out his saw, because you can't just sandpaper away a leech, and he'll just might do a little damage. Then he'll get out the sandpaper afterwards, but he also has a chisel for all the less heavy lifting. Little chip here, little chip there, a little too much on your schedule over here, little chipping over there. That's what the chisel's for. And lastly, sandpaper to smooth out all the rough edges. Now let's see if I can get an amen out of this comment. Undergoing pruning by Almighty God is not a fun experience. For that matter, neither is root canal at the dentist. But we know that God is at work behind the scenes, transforming us daily, like this verse tells us, Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ." You have been foreknown and predestined to look like him. That's the purpose, to have you look like him. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing on you behind the scenes, transforming you to look like him. Also, Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship," Greek word poema, where naturally our word poem comes from. "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is what you're saved for, good works. You're saved so that you would go out here and produce fruit. That's what this whole parable is. Now, along this process, the vine dresser is at work, sawing, chiseling, shaping, a little buffing. Now, verse 3, he says, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." What an awesome truth revealed there. We're clean because of the word of God. Ephesians 5:25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her," comma, speaking of the church now, "so that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." So that he might present her, that's the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we are already clean because of the word of God. I don't completely understand it, but this I do understand. Something happened to my soul on account of the word of God. That much I do understand. By me believing it, by me confessing it, right? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's my Lord. Whoever confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believes in their heart, the Bible says, shall be saved. Also, something happens to me by the Son of God speaking it to me, speaking it over me, speaking it through me. As you read, "Whoever confesses me before men," the Lord Jesus said, "him or her, I will confess before my Father and his angels, which are in heaven." It's the word of God. When he speaks it, something happens to your soul. When God gets out his gavel, looks at you, slams down that gavel and says, "Not guilty." Something happens to your soul when he says that. It's the creative power of the word of God. He himself has said in John 6:63, he said, "My words are spirit and they are life." All right, verse 4. We're going to get through this whole chapter here today. I figured we had enough blood last week. When we get blood up to the horses' bridles and 200 miles long, it's time to change gears a little bit. And let's sit by the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's soak in some of his words here today. It's enough blood for now. We'll get back to that later, some other time, not today. Verse 4. He said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch," now again, we're still building on this imagery of a vine. He is the vine. We are the branch. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless." Oh, this is conditional upon you. You cannot bear fruit, he says, unless you abide in me, he says. "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me or apart from me, you can do nothing." I think me and Pastor Darren must say that every week, don't we, when we're praying. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The Apostle Paul would write, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And the Lord Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." You can't do anything if it's not through him. You can't do it. Maybe you can do it, but it's only for your own glory, and it won't last. Only what's done for Christ will last, like the song goes. Verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me." Now, this is the verse that Warren Wiersbe brought out, that some people misunderstand this verse and teach, you know, if you step on a crack, break your mother's back here. Little superstition, if you're not bearing fruit because you're going through a season, that you're cut off and you're cast into hellfire. That's the wrong way to understand this, because you didn't save yourself. You can't lose your... If you could lose yourself, you would lose it. Thank God salvation is not up to us. It's up to him. That's good news. Verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Now, John MacArthur, on the other hand, says this imagery here in this passage is one of destruction. And it certainly is. If you are not in the vine, then you will be cast into the fire and burned. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 and to verse 40. Matthew chapter 13, verse 40. Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 13, verse 40. He says, "Therefore, as the tares..." All right, now, Now let's hold on a minute here. Remember this parable that the Lord gave. The tares, which we're about to look at, their destruction... The tares are counterfeit Christians. They're deceivers that are sown among the genuine wheat. Now, a tare was something that looked exactly like wheat until it grew up. And then when it grew, it didn't have any fruit. So it was unidentifiable until it was time for someone to bear fruit. That's how they knew. So, when we read tare, that's what it is. The tare is undiscernible from the wheat. So the tares also are right here among us. They even asked the Lord, "Do you want us to go and rip up all these tares and burn them?" He says, "No. Let them both grow together until the harvest." Okay, now, again, verse 40. "Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend." and those that practice lawlessness. And he will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Boy, here I am trying to get away from blood, and look what happens. You just can't escape it. You can't escape. Like the Lord Jesus said, how can you escape the condemnation of hell if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ? I try to run away from it, and I go somewhere else, and look what happens. I didn't even realize that until now. Wait a minute. We're here to get away from blood, and now we go to get away from blood, and there it is again. This is not God's future for you. He doesn't want this. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather together out of the kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So that's the parable of the true vine. You don't want to find out what it means. You don't want to find out what it means to be cast off as a branch. Don't worry about what it means. Don't let it happen to you. I don't think it can happen to you, because if it did, there'd be no one left. There'd be no one left. But again, though, the Lord Jesus said that you will know them by their fruits. Okay, now let's move on here to verse 16. Back to John chapter 15, verse 16. Maybe you say, but you didn't answer the first question. The answer to the first question is strive. Strive. Right? When they said to the Lord, they said, Lord, are there few that'll be saved? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said, strive. Greek word agonizo, where our word agony comes from. Same word used for running a race, agona. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. The answer is to strive. It's not yes, there's many, or no, there's few. The answer for you and me is to strive. It's to cross the finish line in faith. Now, verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so he chose you and he appointed you. Now look at the so that here, meaning there's a reason for it. Look why he did it. That's what the so that is here for. I chose you. I appointed you. The King James says, I ordained you. And then with the word so that, this is the reason why. Look why he chose you. Look why he's appointed you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Let's call that lasting fruit. Fruit that's done in the name of Jesus, not your own fruit. Only what's done for Christ will last. I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that, now there's another so that, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, don't even say to yourself, well, he was just talking to them. That is regarding being called or chosen. Or as for me, I've decided to quit running, and I decided to make my own decision for Christ. When in actuality, he's made a decision for you. It's not you've made a decision for him. He's made a decision for you. You did not choose him. So don't say to yourself, well, he's only talking to the apostles. He's only talking about the 12. No, he's not. He's talking about you. You did not decide one day, well, you know what? I'm tired of running. I think I'm just going to just turn to him now, trust in the man upstairs and all that other jazz. It don't work that way. You did not choose him. He has chosen you. He has made a decision for you. Think about that. He has said, I choose you. Like picking teams, at picking sides at kickball. Didn't you hate it when they didn't pick you? I guess I was always chosen in kickball. If I had anything going for me. With him, you're not left behind. Because the promise is that whosoever that will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, don't get that spiritual truth backwards, that you chose him, because that's not the way salvation works. Salvation works, he has chosen you. Ephesians 1:4. So this is how you know how close you are to Sonny's Barbecue and Restaurant. Probably when we get to there, you can start smelling the pulled pork. When we get to there, you can smell the St. Louis ribs. When we get to there, you better get your coffee mug ready. But we're still over there, so. Ephesians 1:4, it says, just as he, capital H, that's Jehovah, just as he chose us. That would be you. He's not talking about apostles. He's talking about you. You did not choose him. He's chosen you. And that is some pretty good news, if you ask me. It's what caused the Apostle Paul to say, if God is for me, then who in the world could possibly be against me? God's on my side. Is there anyone here in this room that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to single you out. Raise your hand if you've rejected him. You have? Oh, yeah, before. Stand in line, sister. I can say it a nice way. Get thee behind me. No one here. I didn't ask who was perfect. Therefore, God has chosen you. That's good news today. That should be the wind in your sails today. That no, just like that, like Isaiah said, that no weapon formed against you will prosper because God is for you. God has chosen you. You didn't choose him. He chose you.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.